Late Night City. And now, my story. Real people, real stories.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really pleased at getting this young man in. And I'll tell you for why, because I wanted to say for a while, thank you to what he's doing for Liverpool. I said it at one of his launches, and I meant it. This young man has brought business to Liverpool. This man is going around the world selling Liverpool. This man is building an empire, but it's not just in Liverpool. We're going to find out where else he is. It is Lawrence Kenwright. Hello.
Hello to you.
How are you?
I'm really well.
Signature Living, is that just one part of your business?
Well, Signature Living's more about group accommodation, but it sort of evolved into heritage buildings and given buildings such as Lister Buildings a new lease of life and a new purpose to continue on. The days of them becoming museums have gone. There's no grant funding for them. So I think the use as a hotel is a perfect way to take these buildings forward.
One thing that comes over loud and clear, you've got an incredible reputation as a nice person, but your passion, where's that come from?
I love the history of our city, and I think we're really fortunate that other cities many years ago received so much funding, and during getting that funding, they actually knocked down a lot of their DNA, a lot of their buildings. We were really fortunate, or unfortunate at the time, but fortunate now, that these buildings have been left. Some of them have been left to become derelict, but actually they're a big part of our DNA. So when I've come along and sort of given these buildings a new lease of life, actually it's an easy process for me, because all I have to do is unearth the stories that resonate with these buildings, which ultimately creates interest and intrigue, and people come and stay in them.
Opened the Echo the other night, and there is your figures for the business and a very healthy profit. You must be very proud.
Well, we as you said before, that we sell Liverpool all around the world. We have 650 individual investors from all over the world. 5.8 million is a lot of money, but we expect for 2016/17 to be 22.5.
Wow. Where did the idea come from, Lawrence? Because you've been in business for a long time, haven't you? Few ups and downs, but yeah, now you're on a roll.
I think the idea came from going out of business, losing everything, pretty much being homeless, and then coming up with the idea out of desperation. Actually wanting to pay my daughter's school fees, I think I went to bed for 3 months when I went bust, and then I got out of bed one day and I thought, you know, I've got to really start. I've hit the bottom of the base really, and I want to come back, and I think that was what drove me on.
You know what, the interviews I do, and I've been doing for many, many years, I love people like you, because people learn from people like you. You really were rock bottom.
I don't think you go any lower. I don't think I had a single asset left. I don't think these things, when they happen to you, I don't think you actually believe they're going to happen. That's why they happen. And when they do, they hit you like a bolt. And I never had anything. So, but in some ways, to lose everything, you can only go up. But you have to realise that there is only one way in it up. And I think to buy back the liquidated assets from the liquidator, which took Kate and I 2 years to do, the galvanisation of the process, the strengthening of going through that process, actually, it was a real tough time for me. But it actually made me into who I am now. And I respect business now so much more. I respect people so much more. I respect money so much more. And I think I am a different person because of that, going through that process.
Now, you mentioned Kate. Fabulous woman. Fabulous looking woman. Your best mate as well as your wife, and works incredibly hard in the business.
Well, she's got two little souls now she's got to look after, which is the twins. They're 18 months old, so they're sort of day-to-day sort of dream is different. She wants to obviously look after the babies as well, which she finds really difficult because the babies are her business also. So it's a tough process for Kate, because she has so much to give, and she's so knowledgeable on the business, yet she's got these little babies that she's got to look after as well.
So what have you got in Liverpool? Let's start with Liverpool. What do you actually own? Because you're buying all the time, aren't you?
Well, we own, I think we own 1.6 million square foot now in Liverpool.
Which is how many buildings? Too many to know. Name.
It's probably around 15 buildings now in Liverpool, and quite a few listed buildings in there.
And you're bringing investment in from other countries, aren't you? That's where the big, big money's coming from.
Yeah, I think coming back, and obviously banks being at the very issue of me going bust, coming back, I never wanted to get involved in that sort of bank situation. So I literally jumped on a plane, went over to Singapore, found myself in front of 700 individual investors. A really funny story to that was I had to raise £6 million for James Street, and I didn't own James Street at the time. And I literally pitched in front of these investors. 400 hands went up who wanted to invest in 65 units in James Street. And the agent came back on the stage and said, right, OK, all queue up, all write your name on a piece of paper, rip it off, put it into a hat, queue up, pick a name out of a hat, and whoever's name comes out is the lucky winner to purchase one of these sites. I couldn't believe it. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And sure enough, on the way back, I mean, I was literally there in Singapore for two days, and I came back with £6 million.
But why did you convince them? Why were you so good? Yes, you've had those problems. You've got a brain and a half, we know that. But why did you convince them? What was it?
I think when you go into business, think absolute honesty and being open. And I think that's one thing I learned very early on, well, certainly after going bust. And I've never hid the fact that I've gone bust. In fact, I've done many videos, many talks on going bust. And it does purify the situation, and it does, and I did mention this before, it does galvanise who you are. And I think losing everything is the best way to go forward sometimes.
What do you say to people that are listening now that are frightened because it seems to be happening so fast?
When you say so fast, as in?
You seem to be buying everything so quick.
Well, let me put it this way. Every time we open a hotel, we're always up into the high 90s. So James Street's at 99 point whatever percent. Shankly's at 99 point whatever percent. All the Signature Living apartment hotels that we have are all at 90 plus percent. And all the main brands in the world run at 77. So the hotel sector really hasn't changed in 100 years, apart from how you book a hotel room. So we've come in with a totally different angle. We're not hoteliers by trade, and we've come in from an online platform angle. And so we fill our hotels through interest and intrigue rather than main brand, because we're not a main brand. Although you could say we're quite a strong brand in Liverpool now. But that isn't the reason why we fill rooms. We fill rooms because we have interest and intrigue in stories and buildings.
Now, I'm looking down right now at the Shankly Hotel, which you've turned around and got some of Bill Shankly's family working for you. You're building a roof garden, which I've been watching growing. I go home every night when that unbelievable crane is outside in the street, which must be the bane of your life, that crane. That must be costing you an awful lot of money. When are we going to see it finished?
2 weeks. 2 weeks from now, that hopefully that site will be finished. And Liverpool will have another beacon. It'll have another platform for people through social platforms or whatever medium to say this is in our city. It will have permission for 1,250 people on the roof for mini festivals and events, 16,000 square foot of rooftop garden and 8,000 square foot of an event space. Unencumbered views of the city.
What I've learned about you is that you're a huge ideas man. Mm. Where did the idea, you bought the Shankly, it was the old Echo offices, by the way, when you were a child, if in fact you were born then.
1965, I think I was around.
Where did you get the idea of putting a couple of floors on top? Where the hell did that come from?
I have to be honest, that never came from the first outset. That was something that I thought of later on. And I think sometimes you start off from a point and you build in confidence. And I'm certainly more confident now in ideas than what I was at the start. Not forgetting that I came from a point of losing everything. So it was a slow build for me. But when you think about the building itself, it's already got a steel structure inside because it was rebuilt some years ago. And all we've really done is link in new steel into the old steel. So we haven't had to build foundations. And then we put an event space on the roof, which ultimately will fill the hotel as well.
And are you a builder by trade?
Oh, God, no. No, I'm not a builder. As you say, I'm probably more of an ideas guy. But
Does that worry you then?
Because I'm on site every single day. I do understand planning. I do understand how to put a building together. I am there all the time. We've got some real difficult buildings, like in Cardiff. We've got the Coal Exchange Hotel, 204-bed hotel. It's a £42 million refurb cost. And when we first signed for that building, we signed to a minus £7 million valuation. And I'm glad to say that last weekend we opened 57 rooms. And that is a building that has been knocking around the council for 30 years. And the council are delighted now and want to offer us more hotels in Cardiff.
I believe lots of people are ringing you up saying we've got a building for you from different cities.
We're now dealing with probably about 9 councils. What councils out there have buildings that do not make economic sense, that can be brought back into fruition as a hotel, stick a beacon on the roof and tell the world about the amazing city and the amazing building? And there are plenty. Councils don't have that skill set and they don't have the funds. The money isn't there for them anymore. So when I come along to a derelict building, which doesn't give rates, because listed buildings don't give rates, and I come along and I say I'm going to create apprentices, jobs, rates, tourism, ancillary spend to bars, clubs and restaurants, it's actually a no-brainer for a council to take it on board.
Why so many other places? Because you're looking abroad, you're looking in Ireland, you're down there. What would you not feel more comfortable just having it where you can sit on it?
I think this is about overall plans. And my overall plan is that there is a lot of hotels that drink from the same well. And I absolutely believe that we've created our own well. How long we drink from that well on our own depends on how quick we can get out the brand. So it's a little bit of a race against time.
Wow. You've got a great reputation of staff at work for you. They say you're a fun person to work for. They say you're a very fair person to work for. How many jobs have you created in Liverpool?
Ooh, we're probably around 500 plus. But I would believe with the other three hotels that we're going to open in Liverpool, raising our hotel bed to 2,500, it will probably be around 1,000, I would think.
How do the other hoteliers deal with you?
I don't think they get us at all. The Hoteliers Association is a great association. It does what it does. We don't really get involved in that. We believe that we fill our hotels in a different way, and we don't really conform to what they do. But we have no issue with them, and I don't think they have any issue with us.
Do you think that's a problem in Liverpool with people that don't get you as well? Because this is why I wanted to talk to you.
I think sometimes when there is a success, people look for reasons why they haven't been successful, and will look at, you know, is it drug funded? Is it whatever funded? We can show every single penny where our money comes from. It comes from investors from all over the world. So we've got nothing to hide. You know, our accounts are really good and really strong. And we're going to go from here and move on to, and hopefully take Scousers all over the world. And if we are successful with one site in Liverpool, which I won't mention, but if we are successful with it, we want to build a centre of excellence there. And train people with our DNA rather than trying to take on people from other hotel groups who've got a preset DNA. And we're totally different than them. And we want to be different than them. We need to stand aside from what they do. We don't want to conform to what they do. Otherwise, we'll melt into them. And if we melt into them, we're finished because we haven't got the brand what they've got.
It's interesting to say the School of Excellence. I know a few people that have got big companies, catering companies, etc. And the biggest problem is getting staff. And they're now opening schools to train people. So you're going to go down that route as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm from Walton. I was born and bred there. I was there till I was 14. But we have gone to places such as Croxteth, and we've taken on 30 kids from Croxteth in the last 4 months. And they're some of our best workers. Now, these are kids whose families haven't probably worked in generations, and now they are. So I think it's really important that people look to certain people who are in employment and they're the aspiration rather than people who drive around in BMW cars.
If you just join me, I'm talking to Lawrence Kenwright from this amazing company he's got that is spreading all over the world. So where are you now?
We have 4 hotels coming off in Belfast. We have 1 in Preston. We have 2 in Cardiff. We have several, as you know, in Liverpool. And we have 1 in Marbella coming off soon. So we're really excited about that. And maybe, if we're lucky, maybe 1 in Ibiza.
Explain the concept, because if nobody's been, I remember you showing me around James Street a long time ago. And I don't know why it stayed with me. The bath. That ridiculous bath. Explain the concept.
Well, just on the bath. The bath was the original water tank, which dates back to 1896. And we didn't want to throw it away, so we turned it into a bath. But the concept, very simply put, is a hotel that tells a story. And a hotel that gives theatre. I think far too many hotels are vanilla, are all things to all people, and we definitely don't want to be that. So I think for us, our biggest issue is making ourselves interesting every single day of the week.
I think you do that very well. The rooms, what's the biggest room that sleeps how many?
We have a number of rooms, but the biggest room is 30 beds.
30 beds.
So that's 15 doubles. We have rooms that have 10 doubles with swim pools in the middle, jacuzzis, dance floors, every single combination that you can think of we've got. And what you've got to remember is that hotels haven't changed to a group formation format. And I think the introduction of social platforms means that people are more connected now than ever before. So when we started off in 2008, the average group was 8. Now the average group is about 16. And it's growing all the time. I am 51. I can't think of anything worse than spending a night with my mates. But actually, if you were 20-odd years of age, that's what they want.
When do you think the bubble's going to burst on this?
Which bubble's that?
The Stag and Hen Do's.
Well, I don't think we should dwell on Stag and Hen Do's. I think it's about group accommodation and friends being together. We're not all about Stag and Hens.
So let me stop you there. Yeah. So is that what's developing? Because I didn't realise that. Yeah. It's still a group of friends that still want to go away for a weekend. So it's nothing to do with Stag and Hens.
No. Stag and Hens is a big part of it, but it's not the be-all and end-all. It's this connectivity that is now part of our everyday life, and that's brought about through social platforms. And whether my mother's on Facebook all the time, or whether you're 16 years of age and you're on Instagram. It's about bringing people together. And ultimately, people want to spend time with each other. And rather than being in a hotel where you're fragmented throughout a hotel and you might have two people in 8 different rooms, why not all be together?
And is this the principle of your business everywhere now? Is it all group or are they single? Could I come to the Shankly and actually get a room for one?
Yes, we are two separate formats here. One is we are a heritage format. So these are old buildings which need a lease of life that trade primarily on the stories that resonate. And we are also group accommodation. And they are two definite different brands. But we fill both of them equally.
And you've also got a cracking function room there. It's a great size function room, isn't it?
Well, we've got a function room on top of Shankly, which is about 8,000 square foot. It can seat about 400 people for a meal. But it has 16,000 square foot of rooftop garden. And it's the first of its type, I believe, in the UK. I don't think there's anything like it anywhere. And again, you know, going back to what I said originally, if you're going to build something, it needs to be reportable. And especially through people having their own PR machines these days. Look at me, you know, phones, you know, people want to report and tell people about the great weekends or great times we've had in our city. And I think we've helped with that, and we've helped populate social platforms with Signature Living and with Liverpool.
What made you buy Alma de Cuba?
Well, I think Alma de Cuba is a brand which started off amazingly well and has probably slightly deteriorated over a period of time. We've certainly come in and pulled it back to where we felt it should have been over the last couple of months. But our main idea is we think that's a transferable brand. We think that's a brand that can be in other cities. Hopefully we'll be buying next door and making Alma de Cuba into a hotel.
So it's a good feeder place too, isn't it? Because the people you've got need to go somewhere. So if you've got a brand like Alma de Cuba, you're keeping their money all the time.
Well, we've got another sort of platform called Signatures Liverpool, which is about the best what Liverpool has to offer. It doesn't have to be necessarily about us. In fact, it's not about us. It's about all the great bars and restaurants that our guests should know about and therefore should go and visit. So for us, it's about the great reviews that we gain because we make sure that they make the best of their time, going to the best of the city's bars and restaurants at the right time.
You mentioned at the beginning you were talking about money abroad and you said about buying a room, or buying a suite. How does it work and where did the idea come from?
So I'll talk about the benefits of bringing investors from abroad. One is if bringing money into the country, which is great. Two, we red line boundary all of our rooms. We sell them on a long leasehold interest.
Explain red line boundary.
So if you buy an apartment, it has a wall. So that has to be red line boundaried. So therefore, when you buy that, you would do as you would do an apartment. We then operate that for you then. And so you give us a lease back to operate for a certain period of time. And this is where it gets a bit complicated. In between year three and year seven, we have the right to purchase back. Now, obviously, there's a bricks and mortar valuation. And then there's also the business valuation, which is called EBITDA. After 3 years, that EBITDA is pretty much set in stone. And it can be valued. We then put the two together, bricks and mortar and EBITDA, which then brings up the valuation, and then we buy it back from our investor. The investor's had a great time. He's had a return of anything from 6 to 8%. And rather than getting 1% or 2% or whatever he's getting in the bank, it's based on bricks and mortar, so he can't go wrong. And we've actually brought in on a fractional basis our investors who ultimately become our bank. And then it gives a very flexible way to finance and a very sure way to finance.
Where do you get the idea from? Or is it an idea that's been used before?
Well, certainly the way we do it, no one's ever done that before. No one's done the buyback and no one does the sale and lease back in the way that we do. So that was something that I sort of invented, if you like. But now we have many investors now. We've got the credibility. We've got the fact that we always ensure that we bring these buildings back into fruition. So it's a much easier process now. Not forgetting when I first done James Street, I hadn't long gone out of business. So that was much more of a difficult fundraiser than what it is today.
Is when you went out of business, has that been a burden that you struggled to cross the line initially?
I think credibility of bringing these buildings back into fruition, making great profits and going to make even greater profits almost puts that to bed. You know, Richard Branson, Donald Trump, you know, you can name whoever you like, Alan Sugar, they've all gone bust in the past. Would I be as good in business as I hopefully am today? And I would absolutely say I wouldn't be because there's a process that you need to go through to understand just how important certain aspects of business are. And unless you go through the bitter, you're never going to appreciate the sweet. So you have to make sure that you hit the bottom sometimes to appreciate it.
A lot of people listening now are lazy, don't work, can't be bothered. How do you sleep at night knowing the money you've got to get in to pay the wages, to pay the... Are you a different animal to the average person?
I don't know whether I'm a different animal, and you know, I'm a father like most. I've got five children, so I've got plenty of mouths to feed. So I'm no different than anyone else. Do I worry about finances? And the answer is not really. Night follows day. I know what I do. I know what I've got to do. I understand my game implicitly, and I think that confidence and that assurity comes from knowing the game. And I've been in business for 30 years, so I'm not new to this. I don't have sleepless nights. I go
really?
No.
You lucky man.
I go to bed at 9:30. I wake up about 4 or 5. I start work then. I don't wake up to an alarm clock. I get up when I get up, and I get to my emails, and then I get up with the twins at around 6:30. Get them ready for the day, and then go to the gym, then go to work.
As you know, Liverpool is not a city, it's a town, It's a village. Everybody knows everybody and the gossip's rife all the time and the jealousy. It's one of our biggest problems, jealousy. People don't like to see people getting on. To finish off, what message would you give to those people that maybe question who you are, maybe question your business ethics, maybe question your success? What would you say to them?
The message is very, very clear, isn't it? It's about... measuring us on what we've done, measure us on the jobs that we've created and the money and the investment that we've brought into the city. And also, I do honestly believe that we've brought tourism to the city. And I think that's the main aspect of the city now is tourism.
And just for the record, you do the best steak sandwich down at the Shankill.
You know what? I'll have to try that.
Lawrence Kenwright, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.